million reasons to tell the world about my Lord. Amen. If I could open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. As we look into the scriptures here, we're going to find two things I want to call your attention to. You might not see it right away, but as I read it, I see a used to be and a has been. A used to be and a has been. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And you hath he quickened. If you're saved this morning, God is speaking to you and to me. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Amen. Father in heaven, I pray you bless the word this morning in a very special way. Remind us, Father, of the great promises that you have made for us and where our standing is now in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be sure to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I used to be and I has been. I'm sure you've heard these words before. And what is meant when these words are spoken is that a person is not really what they once were. You know, as I was thinking about that, you know, that's true of every true child of God. We're not what we once were. Isn't that great? Well, let's look into God's Word this morning and see what we can find and discover. I'd like to share with you a few thoughts about this. And first of all, the fact that every child of God used to be, now get this, used to be dead spiritually. And that is true. We know that from the fall of man in Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to turn there. You can listen or you can go over to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man that he should be alone. And here we have God's warning to Adam that there was one tree, the knowledge of good and evil, not to eat of the fruit of that, for in the day that you do it, you will surely die. And of course, we know that that is the very beginning of sin, when man disobeyed God in the garden. In that very day, man died spiritually. In that very day, man was separated from God and his fellowship. And you remember in reading the story how that Adam and Eve were hiding behind the tree when they heard the Lord God walking in the garden. And they wanted to hide from his presence. Why? Because their fellowship was broken. They disobeyed God. But aren't you glad that God took the initiative to go after them? God took the initiative to reach them. God took the initiative to strike up the conversation and to once again restore their fellowship. And that is the nature of God. He wants to call people back to him. But every child of God used to be dead spiritually. In Luke chapter 15, we have the famous story of the prodigal son. Remember him? You can listen or turn there. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 24, the prodigal son. He corners his father and says he wants his inheritance before he passes away. And his dad loves him, and his dad gives him his share of the inheritance, and he goes to a far country, and he spends everything that he has, and he's broke, and he's in a terrible strait. He's got no food, and he comes to himself, and he realizes that if I could just go back home, I would be better off. For there my Father will take care of me, and I don't know if he'll have anything to do with me, but the Bible says he comes to himself, and he goes back home, and the story goes on to say that his father not only welcomes him, but he goes out to meet him. And he was so glad to have him back home. In Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son is a picture of someone who was dead in trespasses and sins. Notice verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. What a reunion the father had when his wayward son came home. And you know, that is a picture of every one of us that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have come back to the Father. We have heard God. We have wanted to come back. And so every Christian child of God used to be dead spiritually, but now is made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you hath he quickened. Amen. That we're dead, but now are alive. Have been made alive. Aren't you glad you're a have been? We used to be a used to be, but now we're a have been. Have been made alive because he has quickened us. Yes, we used to be dead to the things of God. We used to be dead to the Spirit of God. Used to be dead to the book of God. Used to be dead to the people of God. We had our conversation in time past. Let us look at, keep your place there in Ephesians chapter 2 if you can. Every child of God used to follow the course of this world, as we read about in Ephesians chapter 2. Used to. Not anymore. Thank God. But we used to. The world meant everything. The world was everything. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Used to follow the world. Used to follow the ways of the world, the philosophy of the world. What is the philosophy of the world? The philosophy of the world is get all you can while you can. The philosophy of the world is forget other people, look out for number one. The philosophy of the world is have it your own way. Amen? Yes, have it your own way. Do your own thing. Don't listen to anyone. Do what's best for you. But thank God, we have been made a lover of God. We have been delivered from a selfishness, a selfish life. When Christ comes into our life, he opens up a whole new world to us. Now has been made a lover of the things of God. Who'd have ever thought that some of you would actually be interested in the Bible? Minor miracle. Who'd ever thought that some of you would actually be interested in the subject of prayer? Who'd ever think that some of us would actually be interested in things of a spiritual nature? I remember when I was in high school, I had absolutely no interest in anything other than sports and other things that young people are interested in. But who'd have ever thought? But it's because that God has made a difference in our life. Used to be following the course of this world, but now has been. Aren't you glad you're a has-been of God? Has been made a lover of God. For some reason, the attraction of the cross stopped you in your tracks when you realized that when those nails were being hammered into the hands of Christ and the feet of Christ, that there God was dying for the sins of the world and our sins were placed on him. And the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. And that attracted you because that was so amazing that the God of the universe would come down to his planet that he created that rebelled against him and put him to a torturous death. But yet, in the plan of God, God was dying for the sins of the world. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down gladly. And for this purpose I have come. Yes, used to be a follower of the world. Now a has-been. Has been made a lover of Christ and the things of God. Every child of God used to be a child of the devil, according to the Bible. But now has been made a child of the King. That's quite a transaction, isn't it? What's another used to be? Used to be a child of the devil. Now been made a child of God. And we'll be like him in character one day when he returns. Or when we go to see him in death. Be like him in character. Be like him in glory. We're going to share in his honors according to the word of God. We're going to share in his joys. That's a pretty good has-been. Has been made a child of God. What a wonderful thing to be made a child of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Find it? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now are we. Not, the Bible doesn't say one day we shall be the sons of God. I know some religious people that are hoping for that to turn out that way. The Bible says if we have Christ as our Savior, right now, present tense, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him. Because one glimpse at his face, according to the word of God, we shall be changed. Yes, every child of God used to be a child of the devil. In other words, wherever the devil said to go, you went. Just like there was a ring in your nose. Come over here, get in trouble. Come over here, get in trouble. Come over here, get in trouble. And then what happens when he gets you in trouble? He laughs at you. Boy, what a master that is. What a good God God is. Amen. Yes, your sins, the Bible says, our sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Why? All of our sins have been paid for on the cross of Calvary. By the shedding of his precious blood, we are healed. But what's another used to be? According to the Bible, every Christian used to be at a distance from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off. Amen? Some of us were really out there. Far off! We're made nigh. That means made close by the blood of Christ. At one time, some of us were far off. So far off that nobody would ever think that we'd ever change, we'd ever turn around. So far off. Listen, God can save somebody who's done the most wretched things in their life. God could put a new heart in them. God can make old things passed away and all things new. Doesn't matter what a person has done or is doing. The love of God can change them. It can be passed from death into life by one look at the Savior because he is alive today. 2,000 years later, he's still changing lives one heart at a time. God didn't save you just to sit in that pew. He saved you to serve him. He wants to be a living reality in your day, every day of your life. So much happened the day you were saved. Take a lifetime to find out all the things in this book. We're never going to learn them all down here. That's for sure. Well, used to be at a distance from God, but now he's drawn near. By the blood of Christ. What a wonderful verse. Used to be at a distance. Praise the Lord now. Now we have drawn near. I remember as a boy playing in the neighborhood. Back when you could play in the neighborhood and your parents didn't have to worry half to death, you'd be gone all day. You don't need a cell phone or anything. But I remember when it got late, my dad used to walk to the corner and he'd whistle real loud. I must have picked up that from him because I learned how to whistle through my teeth. And he could whistle so loud that I could hear him blocks away. And I knew that when I heard that whistle, that I needed to make my way towards home. I didn't want to cause him to start walking down the hill. Because I knew if I didn't respond to the whistle, he'd start walking down Center Street and he'd get to Fifth Street where we used to hang out. And when I heard that whistle, I knew two things. I needed to get home quick, and when I got there, there'd be a hot meal waiting for me. It'd still be hot at the whistle. After the whistle, not hot. After the whistle, might not even get to eat. But I knew I needed to get home quick. Listen, God doesn't call someone in this age of grace to punish them. He calls them to bless them. He calls them to forgive them. People run from God thinking that God's going to punish them because they've lived so terribly. No. Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. He did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that through him we might be saved. Yes. Come to him. You're here this morning. You never responded to the gospel call. Join the rest of the has-beens. Amen. We have been made a child of God by the miracle of God. And it's something that only God can do. But he's willing to do it if we'll come, if we'll respond. Every child of God not only used to be at a distance, but used to be a foreigner. Notice verse number 19 of Ephesians chapter 2. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Amen. Not a foreigner. Not a stranger. A person's a foreigner. The language of the new country is strange. The currency is strange. The customs are strange. You go to a foreign land and it's hard to fit in. Especially when you don't know what's going on. But what a difference. You know, some of us, all of us, actually, we were foreigners to God's ways at one time. It was strange. We didn't fit in. But you know what? Once we got saved, we became a citizen. Where once we were felt out of place, now we feel right at home. You know who does that? God does that. God does that. By the miracle of the new birth. Now a citizen. Now we fit in just fine. And God takes in all kinds and shapes and colors and cultures. We teach our children that song, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We teach them that song because it's true. Christ died for all people. Yes, once we were strangers to God. Once we were foreigners. I remember once I went to a Bible-believing church and I couldn't wait to get out. Because I did not belong. I thought I was lost. They had something I didn't have. I was under conviction. But you know what? Now, since I'm saved, I love to go to church. I love to go and be with God's people. I like to go to their homes. What's the difference? Now I'm a citizen of heaven. And everyone that's born again is a citizen of heaven. Your name is registered up there. You're a citizen of heaven. Well, what's another used to be? Well, the Bible says that every Christian used to be blind. Amen? Used to be blind spiritually. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. You know, I was thinking if we didn't turn the clock ahead, I could preach for another hour. I missed that opportunity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I used to have a fellow in my church that said, preacher, preach as long as you want. I'm leaving at 12, though. You can preach till one, but I'll see you next week. And he was very dead serious. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom, you say, why do you waste time giving out tracts on Saturday? Because I believe that the word of God is powerful enough to change people. This is not the word of man. This is the very word of God. Do we realize that the word, by the word of God were the heavens made? By the word of God was everything made that is made? That's power. Let there be light. And what? There was light. God said, hey, that's good. I like what I made. There is power in God's word. All we need to spread the word of God out. It's like throwing seeds out in the garden. You never know what you're going to get. Amen? I love to plant seeds. I'm not a very good farmer, though. But I love to throw out the seeds in the backyard. I got the kind of ground that I really need about 3 tons of topsoil. You know, but never get around to doing it. I always get around to buying cheap grass seed. And I get enough grass grown to get me through the summer. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4 that we used to be blind. Notice verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Yes, we used to be blind. We used to be blind to the things of God. I don't know about you, but I don't like darkness very much. Unless there's a full moon outside and a clear night and you can see all the stars, there's nothing more beautiful than that. But other than that, I like to have a little light at night. Did you ever get up in the middle of the night and there's no light and you're searching, groping around, hoping you don't break your neck? And all of a sudden, oh! And you say, praise Jesus. Not always, do you? Not always. You start speaking in tongues. Sorry, Lord. That hurts. Oh, why? Because there's no light there. Groping around. In this world today, millions and millions of people are groping around in spiritual darkness. Bumping here, bumping there. And yet Christ is the light of the world. But men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. They don't want to come to the light. And yet if they come, they'll find that God is forgiving. God will give them a new start. You know, I was thinking about people that are physically blind, that know Christ as Savior, the first thing they're going to see one day is Jesus. Now there's an eye-opener. They never saw the beauty of nature. They never saw their family. They never saw their loved ones. They never saw their friends. But when they get to be with the Lord, when they get their glorified body, the first thing they're going to see is Jesus. Boy, that's going to be someday for them, that's for sure. My friend, my good friend Dave Mizell, evangelist, sings a song called Hallelujah Square. What a wonderful time we'll all have up there. We'll sing and praise Jesus, His glory to share. And we'll all live forever in Hallelujah Square. Said, and I saw a blind man who was groping along. And he sang about this blind man. And he said, friend, I feel sorry for you. But he says, don't feel sorry for me, because one day I'm going to see just like you. We'll see all our friends in Hallelujah Square. What a wonderful time we'll all have up there. We'll sing and praise Jesus, His glory to share, and we'll all live forever in Hallelujah Square. How true that is. Yes, every Christian used to be blind spiritually, but now has been given sight. What are you doing with the sight that God has given to you? You know, we still have our old nature. Not going to shed it down here. It's going to fight us tooth and nail. It drags on us like a pit bull. Amen. good pit bull won't let go. I remember in the Air Force, we were training attack dogs. And one day it was my turn to catch all the attack dogs. And my buddy had one that just did not want to learn voice commands. You say, what command did he have trouble with? Out. Let go. He got on my arm, and he wouldn't let go. He got on my boot, and he wouldn't let go. He got on my calf, and I would not let go of screaming. He would not let go. Yes. I don't know where that story came from or why. I'm sure there's a reason. I'll think about it later. But a good pit bull won't let go. Yeah, thank you. Our flesh is with us, folks. It is our mortal enemy. Whichever nature we feed is the one that's going to control us. If you feed the natural man, the natural man will control you even as a Christian. If you feed the new man, the spirit will control you. An Indian chief got born again, listening to a missionary preach the gospel. And time went by, and the Indian came back, and the missionary noticed the glow on his face, and he said, how you been, chief? He says, good. He says, what's been going on in your life? He says, oh, me have terrible battle. Tell me about it. He says, well, sometimes bad dog win. Bad dog? He's trying to explain the old nature. He says, some days good dog win. Some days bad dog win. Fight all the time. Ugh. He says, well, chief, who wins the most? When I feed most. You feed the new nature will control you. Some of you are having trouble, got to feed the new man. Feed the new man by humbling ourselves each day and looking into the Word of God. We feed the new man by humbling ourselves and praying to our Father in heaven. We feed the new man by making our way to the house of God. We feed the new man by doing the things that cause the new man to grow. Choice is ours. Well, lastly, child of God used to be lost. Amen. Used to be lost. But every child of God has been found. I got lost once as a boy, playing in the woods up in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Well, they still had woods out there. I remember wandering so far away, I realized that I had no idea where I was. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a frightful feeling when you're very, very young. And the more I tried to get out of there, the worse it got. I saw places, I thought I was going back in my old tracks, and I was finding new landscapes I'd never seen before. And finally, I just started to just stand still and try to listen. And in the very, very far distance, I heard what appeared to be some kind of sounds. And I'd go a little closer. And after a while, I could hear my cousins. They're playing. But you know, sound in the woods sometimes is not that accurate. And I just kept trying to follow those sounds. And then finally, the sounds got louder and louder and louder. And I got out of those woods before it got dark. I'll tell you, that was a frightful thing. I thought my heart was going to come through my T-shirt. You know, God's word goes out from a distance, far away, to get our attention. When he's got our attention, we have to follow closer to him. Then we find out that the gospel is the greatest story that was ever told. And then we accept Christ as our Savior. And when that happens, the used to be becomes a has been. Amen. All the things we used to be and used to do, God is making changes in our life because we are a partaker of a divine nature. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not through being a Baptist. It's not through being a better person. It's coming to God and realizing I'm lost, I'm a sinner, I died right now, I'm in big trouble. But I'm looking to the cross. And Jesus, if you're alive right now, if you are who you said you are, and you resurrected from the dead, and you are alive by faith, I'm reaching out to you. I'm asking you to forgive me and to come into my life. You know what? Prayer like that will write your name in heaven. You'll be a citizen with God. Would you do it today if you never have? Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Christians are praying. Maybe there's someone here this morning. You never once realized your condition before God. And maybe this morning, God has spoken to your heart. You can be a Christian too. You could be for real. Christ can come into your life today and totally change it. You can start a new relationship with a new friend that's everything the Bible says he is. But the choice is yours. Would you say yes to him today? As our piano starts to play a verse of invitation, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart this morning. You can accept Christ right where you are. Even though he died publicly for you and me, he was willing to endure public execution to die for our sins. You could receive him today. Maybe while our heads bowed and eyes closed, to be a Christian here this morning, say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart about feeding the new nature. I realize I need to do more to have victory over my old carnal flesh. God has spoken to my heart this morning. I want to be remembered in prayer. I see your hands, please. You raise them, put them down. God bless you. God bless you. Just feed the new man. Feed the new man. The flesh will fight it. That's for sure. And you'll have the victory. Lord, I pray you'd have your will this morning in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.